It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good morning and welcome in on Grant and Danny on this Monday, 106.7 The Fan. Look who I found.
Finally, I have come back to sit about 4 feet to the right of my friend Grant Paulson. Hey, buddy.
Welcome back. Congratulations to you as the family has grown.
Yes, man. Yes.
Where do you want to start with this thing? How did it go?
It was good. It's good. You'll never cease to amaze your pal over here. People treat it like it's casual. It's not casual. It is a jarring, violent medical procedure. Should be conducted at all times by professionals. I am a rube. I'm there. I'm involved. I shouldn't be. I'm always amazed that they just entrust goobers. You will go through this. Dar will go through this.
Did they do the thing that I said they were going to do, where they gave you the option of just not being involved?
That option doesn't exist. There's no D. So, like, it's not A, you want to do this, B, you want to do this. There's no D option where it's none of the above. You're doing something. You're involved. So the least that I can do is what I do. When they go, do you want to cut the... No, I don't want to cut anything. Medical professionals, please. Medical professionals at every turn.
So you say no to that?
Of course I said no. I'll say no if we... And we're never doing it again. But if something happens where I need a medical person who's been trained properly. I know nothing. I'm there stretching someone's
leg.
Someone
went to school for several years and spent tens of thousands of dollars to learn how to make that cut.
Continuing education. If it comes up where someone needs a pointer about how to tag a joke or to set up a topic, happy to help you with that. That's my area of expertise. Otherwise, the doctor should be the one doing it, please and thank you. We got it done.
How is Bill Rowland handling the fact that he is no longer the only broadcaster in the booth?
Yeah, it's not good.
No?
No, I bet everyone's dealt with it before. We knew what we were signing up for. The need for attention is certainly there, and I don't know where he gets that from, but it's me. But everybody's dealt with this. Everybody that's gone from being able to double team and do a lot of prevent type defense and put shells around guys and deny entry passes, etc. When you got to back off and play some zone at times where it's just one on two and you got to give up some shots, everybody knows when you go from one to two. Everyone tries to undersell it. By the way, like, you know, it's not. It's not double. Yes, it is. It's more than double. It's so hard. It's impossible. No one should do this.
It wouldn't be more than double because you're going from one to two, so that is officially double.
It's technically double, but the underselling that goes on from other parents because they want you to be as miserable as they are is absurd.
What I always hear people say, if you have one, you may as well have more. Because
right, that's what they say.
Basically, you're doing the same thing a second time that you've already done, and it's easier now.
So in that respect, yeah, you know how to change a diaper. You're ready to go. You know what to wipe, what not to wipe, how to do it. You're still doing the same basic things. It's, well, he's crying. Well, it's either change him or feed him. You got no other alternatives. You can pretend you know what you're doing. You don't. You're all in the dark about everything.
How long does number two sleep at this point?
A couple hours at a time. Little 2 hour increments on between feedings. Yeah, that's it.
So how much sleep have you gotten in the last week?
Not that much. Not very much
at
all.
Are you tired as you sit here right now?
I'm exhausted.
You are?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's normal. This I'm not a special case. I don't need extra special attention or anything. This is how it is. We signed up for it. We knew what we were doing.
So my big question is, what are we going to name your kid on the air? See, for people that don't know, Danny's son is not actually named Bill Rowland.
It is a, you know.
We just call him Bill Rowland, A, so we don't use his name, but B, because it's more funny that way to call him Bill Rowland. I've suggested Byron Kerr, and my reasoning for Byron Kerr is that Bill Rowland's a play-by-play guy locally who has worked here on our station and is a buddy of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly,
so is Byron Kerr.
Byron Kerr checks all those boxes.
Bill and Byron is not a terrible morning show.
He is a friend of ours. He calls play-by-play of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He is an employee here at the station who occasionally does updates.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we're going to call
works for Masson,
Bill Rowland, Bill Rowland, why wouldn't we call your second kid Byron Kirk?
I've got no issue with that. We can nominate Byron as a name. I will. Speaking of names, and this may be funny to Thom, that may be it. My son, my older son, because you got to make sure you put on a big production for the first kid. Because when the second kid comes,
for Bill Rowland.
Yeah, he needs a lot of attention. So your first kid, Bill Rowland, he needed a bunch of stuff. So we got him this big stuffed penguin, Thommy. It's really nice. It's good for wrestling and like jostling. And he and I have some fun with it. I've created a character because I'm so delirious at this point on lack of sleep. I've named this penguin Mike Prada the Penguin. And I do a character as Mike Prada, and I provide basketball analysis to my four-year-old, who doesn't quite get it, but that stirs him up for wrestling, if that makes any sense. So I basically go, I do my Mike Prada impression, who, if you don't know, is a terrific basketball analyst who works for SB Nation, Bullets Forever, is come on the show.
This is evidence, by the way, that Danny was at his house by himself for too long.
Absolutely.
Without anyone else really interacting with him.
100%.
You literally went nuts.
Yeah.
So what is the penguin shtick? Like, let me hear the penguin.
So I hold the penguin up and be like, okay, they don't trap out of screens very well. They need to reverse the basketball. They need to make sure that they attack the out of bounds plays and make sure that when they do zipper screens that they switch off on that and they rotate defensively. Like I basically get the penguin in my son's face.
Does Bill like it?
No, that's the point, is that like it gets him riled up and then he tackles and he says, you stop, and then he tackles the penguin and then we wrestle and that's kind of what we're doing. Mike Prada the Penguin.
I like Mike Prada the Penguin.
That's the character.
Overall.
So I don't want this to come out like it's negative on Mike Prada. I love Mike Prada because he's a basketball nerd just like me. He knows a lot more than I do. He's a genius. I love following his Twitter account when he's talking hoops.
You're over-defending yourself about Mike Prada the Penguin.
It's not a defense. I'm trying to defend Mike Prada. Because the point is, I'm trolling my son because he doesn't understand the nuance of basketball just yet. He's four.
How is your wife doing?
Pretty fed up with me.
Yeah?
I would say, in general. But she's good. Here's the thing, though, and this is what I really want to talk about. The kid, blah, 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 congratulations, all that stuff. We're doing okay, right? We're fighting the good fight. We're doing what everyone else has done. Saturday. We've lived in our condo for just over 5 years.
Yeah, you've been in that condo since before we got the show together.
Right,
yeah?
2013. We moved in. We've seen hide nor hair of this until Saturday. All of a sudden, Saturday, the first sign of an invasion, we see a mouse.
Oh, really?
We have had none. No signs. No little mouse trails. No little droppings. No little gnawed at packages of things.
Knock on wood, nothing. Your boy has not had a mouse in my house.
Knock on that wood, my friend. We've had nothing for 5 years and 360 days. That would have been true. The 361st day, we see a mouse. And, of course, it's the day that my new son, Byron Kerr, is 5 days old. My five-day-old and my wife is at a breaking point. We're in a tenuous situation. Nobody's sleeping. Everybody's stressed out. We see the mouse. I'm the man. I will handle this. I go to the hardware store. I buy the sticky stuff. Don't go out and get the traps.
Well, after seeing one mouse, you went to do that?
We're not messing around here.
Okay.
So when you go and get, there's a lot of options, I will tell you, and there's different people in the industry will tell you different things. People say, get one of the standard traps. Don't mess around with it. Put some peanut butter on it. The thing that works the best, it's a Tomcat brand. It's a flat. It's like a thick piece of paper.
It's the super sticky thing they get stuck to.
And it's the sticky floor,
yes.
Basically. So they're called sticky boards, but it's basically the sticky paper. That's what works the best. That's what, when pest control companies come over, that's what they put down.
Yes.
Do that. Don't mess around with the other stuff. This is what you get. Within 3 hours, we caught four of those SOBs.
No.
Four. And I say we. I did it. I put him down. I saw him. There was one I saw poke his head up from underneath the fridge, look left, look right, like it was a damn railroad crossing. He started running towards the main area where everybody was inhabiting. Not on my watch. Slam my foot down, get him to turn about face right onto the sticky paper. Your boy crumples the sticky paper up, takes it outside, stomps a mud hole in that son of a bitch, and puts him in the dog poo trash can outside.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I
you
did.
You killed him?
I killed him. I murdered him.
You shouldn't have done that.
I will do it every time.
That's awful.
If I see another one, I'll murder him too.
That is awful.
I will kill every
one of them. You should have just let him go out
there. I will not let him go out there because he'll come back. I've done that before.
He's not doing anything to you.
Yes, he is. He leaves terrible disease behind.
Oh, that makes me hurt.
You shouldn't hurt.
Sad.
They invaded. They crossed the line first.
So do you have to put food down on that paper?
No.
Or what makes them run on the paper? Is there a smell?
It's what they want to do is avoid. There's allegedly a little bit of a smell. I don't buy that. They want to avoid main arteries. They stick to floorboards and kind of along walls and underneath.
But did you only get one piece of the little plastic paper?
Oh, no. Their traps are lit everywhere.
Oh, so you have a bunch of the paper all over your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's mainly kitchen, because that's where it's actually only kitchen.
So,
that's
but is it like pulling up a crab pot from underwater, and you get all excited when you see a couple crabs? You come around the corner, you look down, and you see that there's a guy stuck to that paper?
That's what you do. You look down. You're not excited. You're like, okay, here's another one. So each time I put a new trap down, by the time I leave the room, come back, we caught another one, caught another one, caught another one.
How many did you catch?
I caught 4 in 3 hours. We haven't seen any since. And I don't know what if that's because we got the initial invasion, if they're scared now, if we've cleaned. I don't know what it is, but we got those 4.
I want to go back to the fact that you stomped on one.
I stomped that son of a bitch. That's... And I know I'm not supposed to say that now, the B word on the radio, but this is where we are. I'm upset about
this. I feel like you shouldn't have done that. Did you hear anything like break underneath you?
Satisfyingly, yes, I did.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yes, I did. So I want you to picture this.
That's like the first step to you becoming like a mass murderer, I think.
I'm not outside putting heat waves on ants. I'm not magnifying glassing ants to make them catch on fire.
But you're stomping on a mouse.
You're damn right.
I don't think I would have the heart to stomp on a mouse.
Oh, I stomped on him. If you know the angst on the home front when that happened, when we see the mouse. My poor wife.
Bill Rowland wasn't enjoying it, running around chasing him?
No, he didn't like it.
No?
Nobody likes it. No one likes it. They're basically carrying disease. That's what they are. They're disease-carrying
I'm all for getting them out
pests.
Of your house.
So when you leave them out, when you put them outside, they come back.
What if you drive like miles away and drop them off?
I'm going to have them in my car? That's what I'm doing?
That's a bad idea.
What I'm going to do is take them outside, stomp them to death, and then put them in the trash can. So this is the sticky trap right here. This is our Chochi, okay? This is the Shoshi.
Yeah.
So he's stuck on some corner. You fold it over. So that remember, this is all sticky.
Yeah.
The top is sticky. Now, boom.
Oh, he's just stuck in it.
He's stuck.
Oh, so you stomped on paper, not...
Yeah, not directly. And what's beautiful about the sticky paper...
But you could hear all his little bones break.
Absolutely. Ugh. And I would do it again. I'll do it again right now. What's beautiful... And I'm not tough. I'm talking about a 2-ounce mouse. What's tough... So this is now stuck. What's beautiful about this is that it's like this sticky burrito. When you stomp on it, the blood and guts that come spilling out, that's all stuck on the sticky paper too. Not getting on your shoe. Electric Boogaloo, he's in the waste.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
It's the infestation is the terrible part.
So with new life, Byron Kerr came the end of a life, this mouse, is
four
what you're telling me.
4, all dead because of me.
You killed all 4?
4.
You stomped on 4 of them?
Stomped on 4.
Oh. I hope anyone else listening is not as bothered by this as I am.
You're bothered by the wrong part. The part that's traumatic is that there are mice that invaded our territory.
I get that part. I just think you could have thrown him outside. That's all.
Him outside? With what? How am I going to throw him? Yeah, am I going to pry him off the sticky paper?
Yeah, why not?
Because now you're touching mice.
No, not with your hands, dummy. You could either use a glove that you throw away, or you could take a stick and pull him off of there and just kind of launch him into the woods or something. I don't know.
Or... Fold it up, stomp the life out of him, and never see him again. Oh, that's the way to do it. Think about stomping the life out of him. Think about ending the mouse's life.
You don't get a little tense in the stomach when you say that?
I get tense in the stomach when I see them in my home.
That's another time you could get tense.
That's where the tenseness comes.
There's a lot to get to on the sports front from this weekend as well. The Elite Eight games were great. We got a Final Four set. We'll get into that next. Also on Grant and Danny, looks like the Redskins are adding an outside linebacker. Pernell McPhee is planning to sign with the team. Are they set at that position if they can get that deal done? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. I'm Grant, he's Danny, and he is back. This is The Fan. Elite Eight has become a Final Four in college basketball. Let's get into the weekend that was. Start with yesterday's classic. Kansas needing overtime as a 1 seed to beat a 2 seed Duke in a regional final, 85-81. For all of the talk about Loyola Chicago, who we'll get into, and they've been a wonderful story. And for as much as we enjoy underdogs and these wacky 9 seeds making the Elite Eight, this is what it looks like when the two teams that were the best coming out of a region and the best all season long meet in the regional final. This is the classic you can get when 31-7 Kansas beats 29-8 Duke. And you've got NBA players on the floor.
Everywhere.
The largest lead of the game for Kansas was 7. For Duke, I think, was 4, something like that. It was just so entertaining. Back and forth. The two
run
teams
after run, yeah.
Within 2-3 points of each other all game long. Lead changes up around 20. Destined for overtime from the start. Duke almost won this thing about 15 times, including on its final possession in regulation. Tie game, the star for this program the last couple of seasons, Grayson Allen, who had an outstanding performance, had a chance to end this thing.
Looking over at Coach K. He's not going to call
time. Let him go.
Going to let him go. Going to have a shot here for San Antonio. Down to 12.
He's got to make sure you check out and block out.
Grayson Allen with 7. The captain with 5. He wants it with 3. Puts up the shot. And it rolls off the rim and going to overtime. Twice it almost fell.
Great call, Jim Nantz. That was Bill Raftery there as well on CBS. So they went to overtime. Kansas would eventually win. Here was Allen on just how close he came to being the hero.
It came really close to going in. It did. I was trying to drive right, cut me off, went back left, and their big stepped up to help and, you know, had to get a shot up over him and tried to bank it in and was right there, rolled out.
The difference in the game, Danny, this kid Malik Newman from Kansas, he was just feeling it.
He's
5 threes, made 11 free throws, scored 32 points. The only other player in the game had 20. No one had more than that. He poured in 32 and a lot of them at the end of the game.
Newman's terrific. He was maligned at points for Kansas during the course of the year, and the Kansas fans were kind of ticked. When the years that Kansas is really good, they've got this three-guard recipe, and one of the guards has to play big. One of the guards has to kind of guard out of his position and be almost a small forward or sometimes a power forward the way that they play. They've always seemed to have like a 7-footer, an undersized point, like a Devontae Graham, this kid who's been really, really good this year. But Newman's the guy that if he's doing something like that, they can beat anybody, and they definitely showed it. Back and forth, back and forth. I will tell you, it was very satisfying that Grayson Allen shot 3-for-13 in that game. He was garbage in the game before. I love that that guy went out that way. I can't stand him. Thank God that's his last game at Duke. He's a putz. He should trip more people, pout more. Screw Grayson Allen. I love that it ended that way for him.
Yeah, I don't like him either. He's annoying to me, and I find him to be dirty and just one of those guys. If he's not on your team, you're not going to be able to stand him. But he is a very good college basketball player.
Oh, absolutely.
He's super talented. He does a lot of things well. He is an overrated shooter. Like, people who know college basketball talk about how great a shooter he is all the time because that's the book on him.
Missed a lot of shots.
Here's my anecdotal evidence, having been to a Duke game and now watched him a ton. He misses a lot of good looks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine he'll have much of an NBA career. I'm sure he'll get an opportunity at the next level. But I was actually pulling for Duke because I love Marvin Bagley and I really like Wendell Carter.
Bagley is awesome.
Marvin Bagley had 16 points and 10 rebounds, another double-double.
They couldn't get him enough shots. They couldn't get him the ball.
I agree. But it was one of those things where he had 9 shots and needed 16 or 17, and they probably would have won. But they did a good job. Kansas did fronting him. Azubuike, the big kid before he fouled out, and some of the other bigs they used. They had huge, I'm trying to think of the kid's name, number 10, big white kid. A foreign kid that they had basically on him in the block the entire game fronting him.
You talking about Mikhailik?
Yes.
Yeah.
And basically, that's what they did. They kept the ball out of his hands. That's how they won, so I give them credit for that. Other than that strategy not working for Duke, the other thing that went against them was the foul trouble for Wendell Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He got fouled out at the end of the game on a terrible call, by the way. He had his feet outside of the semicircle and standing flat-footed, got ran over for what should have been a charge. It went, went for a blocking foul, and then they took a lead. Kansas did on the subsequent free throws, and he was out of the game. Now, Duke came back and got a lead, and eventually it was tied and went to overtime.
But that was big.
That was ridiculous. The other of the, I guess, biggest stories of the Elite Eight round was one day earlier when Loyola Chicago advanced to the Final Four on Saturday. This is now a third time we've seen an 11 seed with VCU and George Mason University get to the Final Four, and this might be the most fun of all these runs because it's a team that won a title in 63, hadn't been in the tournament since 85. Here's how it sounded as they advanced. And they didn't just get there. They blew Kansas State out of the water.
Chicago, you got a Final Four team. The Ramblers of Loyola Chicago headed to San Antonio.
After the game, their head coach, Porter Moser, was talking about what this is going to do for the program and this being a launching point.
We're not going back. This is where our direction of this university is going around this country. This is what's right about college basketball, high-character student-athletes. And please, go get your tickets in San Antonio. We said to you last week, we're not done. Mm. We're not done. These guys, I was asked a million times, how are they going to handle the spotlight starting from after the Missouri Valley Tournament? And it's because these guys want more.
Ben Richardson, a senior guard who played 36 of 40 minutes,
was
scored
buckets.
23 points to lead them. 7 of 10 from the floor. He hit 6 of the 7 three-pointers he attempted to lead the way.
So you go back through their tournament. 2-point win against Miami. That was a great game, by the way, in the first round, if you didn't happen to catch it. 1-point win against Tennessee. I don't know that they should have won that game, to be honest with you, but there they were. And then, of course, the 1-point win.
Big game winner.
From Custer.
Off the backboard by Custer.
And then a 1-point win against Nevada. And that Nevada team, by the way, was terrific. They were really, really good with the twin brothers. Their easiest win was to get to the Final Four. And they steamrolled Kansas State, who was impressive defensively, who gave Kentucky fits. But Kansas State didn't have their best scorer, this kid Wade, who was all Big 12. I don't know if that would have made a difference or not if he was healthy and playing in that game, but you would have liked to have seen it. But Loyola Chicago was dominant in that game. Dominant. Never slowed down. Ball kept moving, just knocking down open shots. They looked great.
The team that impressed me most over the weekend, and it's probably had the best tournament, Pete was actually sitting in for you last week with Craig at other different times when you were away having the baby. But
Villanova, man.
71-59 win over Texas Tech. They are one of the best shooting teams from outside when they get hot that I can remember in a tournament. They play really good defense. They are so versatile that they can run and beat you in a track meet. When they want to get big, they can do that as well with the kid Spellman in the block. I love this Villanova team. They were one of the best teams in the country all year. I don't know how they're not going to win the national title. Now, I could see Kansas giving them some problems, but they are far and away the best team left. And if everyone plays at max capacity, they'd win that thing 95% of the time.
They're the best team. They were the best team I saw during the course of the year. Everybody kind of took turns, kind of, you know, jockeying for position, who was playing the best basketball. Michigan, who we haven't talked about, at the end of the season was playing great when they went to the Big Ten tournament. But consistently from October through March, I would say Villanova was the most impressive team to me, non-UVA division. They are excellent, just as you alluded to. You take one away, somebody else will do it. You take away Brunson, Spellman's going to knock down shots. You take away those guys, DiVincenzo's going to get out in the break and do some things. They do everything well, so well coached, too. They're awesome.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, the Redskins could be adding an outside linebacker who could be an impact player for them this season. We'll explain. We also got to get into the Nats as they get ready to come home to Washington, D.C., an exhibition at Nats Park. Many of you are attending tomorrow. You are listening to the Fan.
It's Grant and Danny. For our boys at EMP180 Weight Loss, we love these guys. You will love them, too. You can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. We just had a baby, the wife and I. We are eating whatever comes our way because we're on no sleep. We got no time. I'm telling you, I'm still able to make good decisions, Grant, even without getting my comfy 8 hours of rest. It's thanks to EMP180 Weight Loss.
You got to call them at 855-888-0188. That's 855-888-0188. You got to tell them. When you do, that you're ready to make a lifestyle change, that you want to lose some weight, and that you are ready to get to a point where, like Danny and like me, you are the healthiest you've been in years. Danny, think about this. I weighed over 280 pounds at one point.
Mm-hmm.
280 pounds. Right now, today, I weigh about 190 pounds.
It's awesome.
Wouldn't have been able to do that without EMP 180 Weight Loss. Every time I go in there, including this past week, we meet new listeners. Go to emp180weightloss.com. Just learn about the program they're going to put you on. emp180weightloss.com. Tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. In the 11 o'clock hour today, look ahead to tomorrow's exhibition game for the Nats. They're coming back to D.C., and that means they're only a few days away from opening their season. It is here.
I'm ready. I'm prepared. I have made my peace. I'm wearing a Nationals jacket today just by coinkydink. I am excited for this one.
I'm also excited for Pernell McPhee to potentially sign with the Redskins. That is the hot rumor right now because Jordan Schultz, who covers the NFL, said that Pernell McPhee told the Atlanta Falcons, who he had visited with and met with and discussed terms with, that he was going to be signing with the Washington Redskins. Schultz covers the league for Yahoo Sports. He's one of their insiders and analysts. Used to be at Bleacher Report. But the tweet he sent out yesterday morning was that McPhee had informed Atlanta he planned to sign with the Redskins. Not a certainty that the edge rusher will head to Washington, but it certainly looks that way. John Keim, who covers the team in town here for ESPN.com, said nothing is official yet. Does sound like this is where it's headed, but nothing has been signed. So here is what we know. As of right now, the Redskins are the front runners to get Pernell McPhee. I think this would be a really good addition. Danny, you were out all of last week when this came to fruition. We started talking about him as a possibility. Since you left right around the start of the tournament last Thursday, it has become official that the Redskins have lost Trent Murphy, who is probably their third outside linebacker. It's now more likely than not, based on all the reporting last week, that they're going to lose Junior Gallette, who last year was their number three and organizationally would be their number four otherwise. So that means that at a position where I always say you need five or six.
You always need more.
At a position where you need depth because two are on the field at once and you're spelling guys who are coming off fatigued and tired, you're not going to play 100% of snaps unless you're Ryan Kerrigan in your rookie year, and I still don't know how that happened. But you need, not want, you need four outside linebackers that can get to the quarterback. Right now the Redskins have Kerrigan, who's really good, Preston Smith, who's okay but inconsistent, and Ryan Anderson, who showed nothing last year as their third guy.
Didn't excite you.
Nothing else after that, by the way. If they're to sign Pernell McPhee, who has eight sacks the last 2 years, has a 7.5 and 6 sack season on his ledger, really good in Baltimore, solid in Chicago, injury-riddled but good when he's been healthy, who can actually set the edge and play the run at 270 pounds and 6'3", to me, that is probably my second favorite addition of their offseason so far. I really like that.
It's not sexy. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to lead the crawl on ESPN. Breaking news, Redskins are now a championship contender. But it's a nice, smart, savvy signing. You'd like to have Gallette back as one of the only guys that could be the speed rusher. You don't have that. You've got a couple guys like Preston Smith, bigger, bulkier, sort of the power rushing kind of style guys. Preston Smith and now, of course, Pernell McPhee would kind of fit that mold as well. But again, it's not one of those, oh my God, now the offseason is complete. We've done this, but you got to do it. You got to find some of these values at this point. He's been an okay, a solidly productive player. His best year, 2014 in Baltimore, we had 7.5 sacks. The following year, first year in Chicago, 6 sacks. I don't know snap counts. I don't know how often he was asked to do something besides get up the field and rush the quarterback. So sometimes those numbers can be misleading. But he's one of those guys that's not going to kill you. One of those guys that's not going to be an embarrassment. One of those guys where you go, oh my God, they can run at Pernell McPhee every time. Or they can, you know, leave him out there on an island. He'll be moderately productive as part of a rotation. You need that. You need some of the support system. I still think they need some front-end talent. I think they need a couple guys where defense or offensive coordinators have to stay up late at night figuring, how the hell am I going to stop that guy? That's not what McPhee is to me, but this is a nice addition.
Yeah, I want to go get superstars too. You got to spend a lot of money, and the Redskins have shown no willingness to do that.
Yeah.
And when a guy like Jonathan Hankins becomes available, he doesn't end up here, and or to this point, they haven't made it easy on him to say yes. When a player at the defensive tackle position who could probably take it from being an okay or good defensive line to a great one, whether that's Dontari Poe or anybody else, can sign, they're not willing to throw that cash at anybody. This is the new way of the last several years of Bruce Allen, where you defer to basically being cheap and frugal over overspending. And we could debate what's better and what helps you more. Clearly what they did back in 2000 with Dan Snyder doesn't work. It's a disaster. I'm not sure that this works either, if you're talking about getting to a championship level. But they've clearly improved, and they are now in that middle of the pack. The Pernell McPhee addition would be a smart one. And this is what I care about right now, upgrading this defense. Their offensive floor is pretty high. Jay Gruden can coordinate a passing game. I don't care who his quarterback or his receivers are. That is going to be pedestrian, just as a floor. You're not going to be worse than that. You go get Paul Richardson and add his speed, something they didn't have last year. It's going to open a lot of things up underneath for Jamison Crowder to be better. If Jordan Reed is healthy, which he wasn't last season, then the ceiling for this offense skyrockets. And Alex Smith uses backs well. Chris Thompson, get ready.
Uses tight ends well.
Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, get ready. doesn't use wide receivers all that well, but perhaps with Richardson's speed, he can have a Tyreek Hill quality where, you know, they take some shots down the field. Josh Doctson can moss some people. But I feel fine about the offense. They're going to draft a running back in the second round. I'm convinced of that.
That's happening, by the way.
I don't know if you heard, but Jay Gruden was on the show last week when you were out.
It was great.
And he basically told us they're going to draft a running back in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, we're pretty much going to do that.
I was surprised that he admitted to that, but that's exactly what he did. So I'm not worried about the offense. But right now, Danny, has their defense improved enough for you to feel good?
No.
No.
They've taken some lateral steps. They've kind of moved around in a couple circles.
Well, they've lost Breland and Fuller, and they've replaced that with basically Orlando Scandrick.
Yeah.
That is a worse cornerback situation.
So I considered the Zach Brown re-signing an improvement.
That was huge.
But how could you improve based on what you already had? So I guess it's not. From the moment the offseason began and it looked like he was gone, you lowered down a level and got back up close to your original level. So I don't know if that's an improvement or not. So based off of last year, looking at this group, the only way that you're getting improvement is from internal improvement, a.k.a. healthy, presumably. Year two of Jonathan Allen, a healthy Matt Ioannidis, et cetera. That's not enough for me. I need thoroughbreds. I need Balrogs.
I want heat-seeking missiles.
Please, for the love of God. In general, I would default, if it's one or zero, we've talked about this a trillion times, I would default more to the Bruce Allen approach, by the way. Breaking the bank for free agents for huge years, huge amounts of money, tends to not work out very well in the NFL. I understand that, and I get that.
Yeah, if you're debating Dan Snyder 2000 or Bruce Allen, it's Bruce Allen every time.
Every time.
But people always act like it's got to be Dan Snyder 2000.
There is a happy medium.
It could also just be a team that signs two good free agents every year.
Sometimes Deshaun Jackson's available. Sometimes Josh Norman's available. Sometimes you do that. If I'm, again, I would be a terrible general manager. But for me, at a position that I am so desperate, starving, so hungry, I'm going to overspend at a certain spot. I'll go cheap on this outside linebacker. I'll go cheap on Prentice McPhee. Hope I find somebody that fits. I'll go cheap on a guard. Hope I find somebody that fits. I'll go cheap on a running back. Hope I find someone that fits. Is my scheme better or not? I think they only make a handful of these defensive linemen that can influence games. I'm not talking about be there and not hurt you. The Redskins have had a million of those guys. I'm talking about game-changing defensive line talent. I think that's what defense is at this point. Everybody else is kind of window dressing. You can slide up and down. You can be okay. You can be not okay. You can be good even. The thing that influences games at this point is what the Redskins have been desperately needing for a decade plus. And especially since they went to this 34, they've been in dire straits need of these type of guys. Jonathan Allen is a wonderful start. Let's keep walking that path. Overspend in that spot. I don't generally prescribe for overspending. For that spot, I think you have to. I think you have to, especially because you're in a less glamorous position for these defensive linemen. It's not sexy to say, come deal with a couple double teams and not have a great statistical impact.
Let's do this. Let's get to the phones and ask you this question next on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. You can call us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Assuming Pernell McPhee does sign with the Redskins, which is, as of right now, the plan on his side, on the team side, is the outside linebacking position good enough, or does it still need to be a priority in the draft? Can you reasonably go into the season with Kerrigan, Smith, McPhee,
Anderson,
and needing Ryan Anderson to make a breakthrough and feel 1-4 that you're good enough? That's the question. 800-636-1067. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. News of the morning for the Redskins. Pernell McPhee could be putting pen to paper on a new contract. If he does, how do you feel about the OLB position? I guess the way I'd sum it up, Danny, is I don't feel great about it, but it would then be built well enough that I don't think you can spend a lot more time worrying about it in this case. Ryan Anderson needs to play to get better. If you invest a second-round pick in someone who had the college career and the conference and the program that he did, that guy is not going to improve a whole lot, not getting opportunities. So to slot him down lower than your fourth outside linebacking position, you're stunting his development, his growth, and there's not much of a chance he can be all that impactful.
Agreed.
I also don't want to spend a lot of time developing someone else. Look at what Preston Smith is, right? Wildly inconsistent, makes huge plays, a lot of talent. They're probably going to have to re-sign him to a pretty expensive contract. That's a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you draft a pass rusher in the first round, which I don't think you're going to because I want to spend that first-round pick on a defensive lineman or one of the guys that falls, Derwin James, Roquan Smith, what
have
you.
Right.
You're not going to get one before the third round. Is the third rounder I take going to help me right away a whole lot? Probably not.
I mean, unless you throw that dart at the board that turns out to be the hidden gem that nobody knew about. I mean, that happens, but counting on that's a little bit naive.
But more often, just think about what they've done. It's Trent Murphy's round two, Preston Smith's round two. Those guys will go months as rookies where they're not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Anderson's the exact same thing, second round pick at that position. That is a feel it out as you go. Smith led the NFL in sacks in his first year as a rookie among all pass rushers that were first year players. And it took basically a 5 sacks last month of the season to lead the NFL in sacks with less than 9. So my point is, to get a real stud at that position that helps you right away, you got to draft early in the draft. I don't think they're going to do that. So I say, yeah, you're set. You go into the year with Kerrigan, Smith, McPhee, and Anderson, and you hope for the best. You bring someone else in at a flyer. My one concern there is the lack of speed off the edge. Kerrigan and Smith
are
similar.
I'd like to have a speed rusher. Yeah.
McPhee is kind of similar to them. They're big-bodied, strong guys who can help against the run. They don't have that Gallette burner around the corner who lowers his body with lean and stays off the ground with his arm and is at the quarterback because he's faster than everyone else.
Yeah, and even Anderson isn't in that school either. He was more the brute strength guy. His teammate, I think it was Tim Williams, was known more as the speed guy. He was the McLuhan-style physical bruiser, beat you up a little bit, relentless worker type guy. But he didn't show much in year one. I'm hoping that he has that breakthrough that everybody else has where he hired a personal chef and he took care of his body more than he had in the offseason, adjusted to the grind. You know the article, you've read a trillion times. But this is what it's supposed to look like in a lot of ways. And here's what I mean. Organizations have to make tough decisions in a salary cap league every single year. And when you invest a second-round pick, in this case, 3 second-round picks over the span of 5 years on one position, you got to let some of those guys go. You got to sometimes not meet the offer for a Trent Murphy who got paid a huge sum of money to go play in Buffalo. Sometimes you got to say good luck.
He got overpaid. I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, sometimes you got to say good luck to Breshad Breeland because you drafted Fabian Moreau because you like Quentin Dunbar. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to make tough decisions if you want to keep your quarterback at a huge amount of money. Anyway, you have to do these kinds of things if you want to continue to replenish talent. And sometimes you have to create a need and hope that it gets solved internally on the cheap in order to continue to be competitive. That's how the good organizations do it. So in practice, I'm with this. But what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on guys like Ryan Anderson. Good luck, dude. You showed zip zero in year one. Now you've not only got to be a potential starter in weeks where guys can't go, but at a minimum, part of the rotation. I mean, you've got to be able to contribute when you're there and not just be a wallflower that disappears. He's got to be good.
Yeah, and we know now, this deep into Ryan Kerrigan's career, exactly what he is and what he's going to give you, which is that he is one of the better pass rushers in the conference. He is in the top 10 in the NFL at his position. I mean, this has now been 7 consistent seasons and now basically 4 years of a guy as a double-digit sack artist on the outside. He's been 13 or higher now twice in the last 4 seasons. So he's going to be right around a dozen. Is he exceptional? Is he an all-pro? Is he the best at his position in the conference? No.
Just really good.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
What is a shame is that he's done this throughout his entire career without ever having a guy equal to him on the other side, which so many great pass rushers have. Perhaps Preston Smith really comes forward this year as he starts to get closer to a contract. Maybe this is the year.
Maybe he smells a little bit.
Exactly, where there's some consistency to him going into the last year of his deal next year. He had 8 sacks as a rookie, and it wasn't that authentic. If you go back, he had a 3-sack game in December to get there. He had 5 sacks in the last, like, 5 games he played.
It was very Arakpo-y.
Yes, absolutely. But one of those games was for the division, and he had 3 sacks, and that's huge. This year, he had 8 again, and my point is just that he was more consistent. That even when he wasn't getting sacks, he was in the backfield more. He played the run better. He did some better things in coverage. This was by far the best year he's had. The other good thing for Preston Smith, he hadn't missed a game in 3 seasons.
That is something. I was going to bring that up.
He is durable. He's on the field, and he is getting better and better. He's the kind of guy I want to keep around and sign, and I don't think you'd have to break the bank to do it. But I still have questions about what is his upside.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 years from now, is he getting 10.5-11 sacks a year, or is he still in that 7-8 range? Because that's a huge difference, not just in those 4 plays, but the rest of the season, how often you're about to get to the quarterback.
4 sacks means, 18 pressures or
exactly.
Some kind of formula. I wonder, and let me ask you this, just a matter of opinion. Do you think we view him as more consistent this past year because he finally wasn't looking over his shoulder or wasn't battling with Trent Murphy for playing time? Because remember, Murphy was viewed as the starter 2 years ago in 2016. He had his 4.5 sacks in 16 games talking Preston Smith, but he wasn't on the field near as much, right? Right. Isn't that the sense you had?
100% agree with that, and that's part of my thought on Ryan Anderson as well. If you want a guy to develop, give him a chance to
develop.
He's got
to play. He's got
to be on the field. Last year, Ryan Anderson didn't play that much. The more you play, the better you're going to be. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman about this. He's our Redskins beat reporter. He's joining us next. 11 o'clock hour, though. We'll get into the Nationals as they get ready to come home. Spring training in the rearview mirror. They're playing at Nats Park in an exhibition tune-up against the Twins tomorrow. We'll get into that on the fan. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.